It is true, it begins with a dream. 81 years ago, HMS Richards Sr. felt that God gave him a dream in his heart. And he started in a little shed right next to his house with Voice of Prophecy, 81 years ago. There is no way that he ever imagined that today we would have an iPhone application for Voice of Prophecy called VOP, so you can download it. He never imagined that you could register for our podcast, or that there would be 250 archives on our website, or that our books would be on Kindle for you to download, or that you could follow us on Twitter or Facebook. He just had a dream. And it was way out of his time. And today, 81 years later, we are the second longest running Christian program in the world. It all starts with a dream, and I'm hoping that you will check out all the materials you were given on Voice of Prophecy. Were they given that already? You guys have a magazine. You need to look at it now, take it with you, and hopefully you'll find a lot of new things that you didn't know Voice of Prophecy has. I have come to talk to you about your dream. Because sometimes it happens, and when you get to the ministry, you forget your dreams. Because there are trials and there are difficulties, and you face things you were not thinking you would be facing. But before we get to the dream part, I want to make sure we're never confusing our calling with our salvation. And because a lot of ministers are very confused, I decided to give you a framework to work with before we talk about your dreams. So let's go again to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which was given to us and read to us by our awesome singers today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, Paul was dealing with this in Corinth with the leadership of this church. And they were a little confused about the foundation, the doctrines, and their place. So he decides to tell them, look, I'm going to give you a framework so you never forget that even though a true calling comes out of the assurance of your salvation, they are not the same thing. And this is what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, he says. So let's start here, he says. As a matter of fact, he spent two chapters before this explaining to us that this means Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he says, don't ever confuse the foundation. When you have to build up a church, he's talking to the leadership of the Corinth church. And then he says, now, once you get that, if a man builds on that foundation, you're going to build this church, you're going to build up people for the kingdom of God. If any man builds on that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones as one group, and on the other group, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day, will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If a man's work, what he allowed the Holy Spirit to do through him for the church, prevails and it remains, he will receive a reward. If a man's work, which means that he actually used the other things, wood, hay, and straw, if that man's work is burned up, which means that it was not profitable, he will suffer great loss because he won't see the reward of how his work helped the kingdom of God. He will suffer great loss, but he himself will be saved. He himself will be saved, even though he will have great loss. So Paul says, look, there will be a lot of leaders of the church who have accepted the robe of righteousness of Christ, which has not one thread of human doing in it. This is the one that saves you. There's no buts or ands to be added to this. Not even in ministry, believe it or not. But when you are assured of your salvation, he says, you have the incredible possibility to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you in such a way that you will build up the church with gold, silver, and precious stones for his glory. And that work is also of the Holy Spirit in you. It's not your work. But he says, don't ever confuse that this is your salvation and this is your calling. Okay, so are we clear on that? Because many times, you know, I work with ministers in crisis. Many times, people live out their calling out of fear and not out of assurance. And you know, there are two sides to freedom. Freedom from whatever is unhealthy, but there's also freedom to be who you are meant to be. And so God wants you to have that assurance of salvation so that you can, woohoo, live your life with this exuberance for his glory. All right. So now that we got that straight, I'm going to talk to you about your dreams from the story of Joseph. So please come with me to Genesis 37. You know this narrative of Joseph, which is the bridge between the patriarchs and the rest of the Bible, is given quite a bit of coverage. Genesis 37 all the way to 50, we'll talk about Joseph. It has been called the most dramatic narrative in all of the Pentateuch. Because the writer wants to make sure we know that God is guiding Joseph towards a dream that is greater than he could ever imagine. And you know what he does? This is fantastic. He has robes to show the status that men give Joseph. Almost like if you had a title or it said pastor this or president of this conference. At that time, you used a special robe for your role. And not only do we have robes, we have dreams. Because in the middle of all that, God is guiding Joseph through dreams. So, check this out. There is three robes in Joseph's story to show the three different stages of his dream. And each robe has two dreams attached to it. Because he's showing how is it that this unworthy man, because we are all unworthy and weak, how is it that God is going to save a whole race to preserve the Messiah through the Jewish nation? And so we're going to study that. One robe per stage so that you can follow how God is guiding him. Two dreams with each robe. So we're ready? Genesis 37. We start with the first, perhaps the most known robe of Joseph. The multicolor, or the Hebrew could be translated into a richly ornamented robe. It's a robe that shows that he is special. That's how people see him. That's how his father sees him. But it's a very dysfunctional robe. Because don't forget that if you thought having a dysfunctional family disqualifies you for ministry, you're in great company in the Bible. You know, almost every family that we have in the Bible is dysfunctioning one way or another. Thank God for that, because none of us would qualify for ministry. And here we have this robe that we're told, chapter 37, verse 3 and 4, Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored or richly ornamented robe. In the middle of all of that, he gets two dreams. This is the stage when you're getting glimpses, but you don't fully understand them. So he has two dreams. And he, you know the dreams, you know the story of Joseph. And he says, well, I don't fully understand this. Could you please explain to me what this means? And he tells his brothers, very dysfunctional family, very naively, he keeps sharing. He says, you know, there was this dream with sheaves, and my sheaf was, you know, standing. All your sheaves were bowing. And, you know, he does not have yet the gift of interpreting dreams. Everybody else in his family seems to have it. Because actually, they will tell him, what, are you going to rule over us? Actually, they were right. They were interpreting appropriately. But Joseph didn't have it. He didn't know what he meant. And so we are in the glimpse time stage. We're going to call this the robe of your calling. We're just getting started in those dreams, and something burns within you, and you're not sure exactly what it is, and you tell other people. As a matter of fact, in this stage, people will tell you that they're recognizing something in you, and you're going to say, no. Are you sure? You think so? Now, you know the story. He goes to where his brothers are. Actually, they are in Shechem. This is very important because Shechem and Dothan are very close by. Remember that he will be sold in that area. Do you know that at the end of the book of Genesis, this area will be given to Joseph as an inheritance? Many times your life will come full circle, and you will now understand why you started there. Perhaps you'll remember in John chapter 4 when the Samaritan woman was talking to Jesus, she said to him, this is the land that was given to Joseph by Jacob. Well, Sychar and Shechem and Dothan are all in the same area. And it was so important to Joseph that he asked for his bones to be buried in Shechem. And so at the end of Joshua, they bury him in this very town where he will be sold into slavery. Well, aside from this, you know that they stripped him. Let's go to verse 23. It came about when Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped him of his tunic, the very colored tunic. We are told on verse 31, they took Joseph's tunic and slaughtered a male goat and dipped the garment in blood. And it's very interesting because the deceiver is now deceived, because the currency you use in your family will be used with you. And so he's deceived, and this would be a very sad stage in our ministry if it ended up like Joseph, if it wasn't for one little detail. And it's the last verse of that chapter, that when he is sold to Potiphar's house, and we have this opposition there saying, verse 36, meanwhile, the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, who was Pharaoh's officer. Now, we know the end of the story. He didn't know it. He didn't know that he was closer to his dream than he's ever been. He's getting closer and closer to Pharaoh, but he doesn't know it yet. So then we get to this stage. Now, I wish I could tell you that there is a way for you to go from this stage to this stage without going through this stage. But there isn't. Every person in the scriptures who will work mightily for God, his purposes, will go through the garment of training. And the garment of training will involve great suffering. And why is that? Oh, because you will be stripped of all your securities that are not God in this stage. Stripped completely of anything you ever trusted that it wasn't God, whether it was your talent or your finances or all. Because God needs broken people. Because his dreams are so much greater than anything we could have imagined, that he needs fools for him that will say, oh, we're going to Egypt? 2 million people? So where are we going to get water? Like Moses. Oh, from a rock. Oh, really? So he gets to Potiphar's house, chapter 39, and he's given the garment of the overseer. See, he doesn't know he's going to be overseer of Egypt. So God is going to train him. So here you get your abilities, the things you study and your experience. Here we have the overseer. He gets to oversee Potiphar's house, and he gets the garment of the overseer. And Potiphar says, you know, you are so good, and God is with you, by the way. That's what we get in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Just because you are in slavery doesn't mean God is not with you. God is training you for something greater. And so Potiphar says, okay, you can have the whole thing and just, you know, oversee it for me, except my wife. And the wife said, I want to be included. And so, well, what happened was, one day, when Joseph is wearing this garment of overseeing? This woman came to him, verse 12, she caught him by the garment, and now the whole narrative in this stage will be based on this garment. It's very, very carefully narrated, so you don't miss this. By now, you would think that Joseph doesn't want to wear any more garments, because every time he wears one, somebody strips it from him. And he will use those words. Here, the beautiful garment stripped from him, overseer garment stripped from him. So it's stripped from him. Lie with me. And the whole thing will mention the garment so many times so that you don't miss the fact that we are in the second stage of the garment. Well, she's going to take the garment, show it to Potiphar, accuse him, and becomes exhibit A for prison. He will go to prison. You know, this is a very important stage in ministry. I work with ministers in crisis, especially with sexual addiction. We have 7 out of 10 ministers sexually addicted right now. This is the moment where you're going to have to face anything that is an obstacle to the dreams of God for you. This is the time where your integrity will be tested, and even when you are doing the right thing, you might still end up in jail. It's okay, because God is leading you through this. Don't forget, your salvation is secure. You're just getting gold and silver and precious stones. And so he ends up in jail. And in jail, the two dreams come, because each garment has two dreams. And it's in jail that he gets the overseeing, because again, he's overseer of the jail now. And so he's getting his abilities, but he's also now getting his spiritual gifts. And he is given the gift to interpret dreams. In jail. Now, this would also be a very sad stage if it wasn't for one verse. Let's go to verse 20 of chapter 39. You know, sometimes we miss little words in Scripture that give us the clues. Joseph's master, chapter 39, verse 20, took him and put him in jail, but it wasn't an ordinary jail. It was the jail where the king's prisoners were confined. Why was it? Because Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh. So when he had a slave that had to go to jail, I didn't mean that. So what did he do? Well, he took him to the royal jail, where the final connection for his third garment will be made. So if you tell me, oh, you don't know, I'm in jail, I'll tell you, it's the royal jail. You know, God is going to do something through that time. He's going to strip you of anything that is on the way, so that when you get there, you get there. Woo! You know, this was a difficult one for me in my life. And if I had time, I would tell you. And you know, it's not that Joseph is in denial. It's not that Joseph is saying, oh, I love jail. No, it's not that. He wants to get out of jail. And when the two dreams come and he interprets them, because now he has the gift to interpret dreams, then he says to them, look, actually to the cupbearer, because the baker wouldn't do him any good anymore, but for the cupbearer, he says, could you please remember me? And it's very interesting, because he says this, verse 14 of chapter 40. Chapter 40, verse 14. Keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was, in fact, kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me in this. And the word is pit again. See, we have pit over here, and the garment that he stripped, And we have pit over here and the garment and it's stripped. But we have two dreams and we have two dreams because God is directing his servant for a magnificent dream. After 2 more years, chapter 41, verse 1, you would have never thought that 2 more. See, God's clock has never matched my watch, ever. I mean, imagine being Sarah, 90 years old, and being told you were pregnant. I mean, the only woman in the Bible to pay the pediatrician with a social security check. You know? And Mary, who is not married, and God says, now you're going to be pregnant? God's clock doesn't match our watch, but it matches the orchestration of his designs. And so chapter 41, verse 1, after 2 full years, Pharaoh now has 2 dreams. He has 2 dreams. He's told something, but he doesn't know what it is. And the cupbearer says, oh, yes, we had a young man in prison. Bring him. So Pharaoh says to Joseph, verse 15, I have had a dream. Actually, he had one dream in two ways. No one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And this is the way you know when you are getting to your third stage. You never take credit for your gifts, ever. You know you're unworthy, you are weak, you can't believe every morning that God will use you this way. And I hear you're so good at interpreting dreams, Joseph. Verse 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not me. You got this wrong. It is not in me. It's God's gift. God will give Pharaoh an answer, and he happens to be using me to do it. Oh, no, it's not me, says Joseph. And then Joseph decides to give Pharaoh 3 things. From verse 33 on, he gives them the meaning of the dreams. He gives them a prophecy for the next 14 years. And then he gives them a little advice. Not long ago, I went to Egypt. And when I was standing in front of those temples, I could imagine Joseph saying, can I give you advice? You don't give advice to Pharaoh. You don't give advice to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh recognizes that this is not him, that the Spirit of God is in him. Verse 38, Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom divine spirit is found? This is the source, he says. There's no one else like him. And at that moment, on verse 42, Pharaoh took off his signet ring, put it in his hand, and clothed him with a 3rd garment. The 3rd garment of the overseer of Egypt. Something that he would have never thought of, ever. You know, there are many characters in the Bible that are typological of Jesus. Joseph is one of them. This is the first place in our English Bibles where we find the word remnant in the Bible. We were told that Joseph realized that even though it was meant for bad, God preserved a remnant of his race through him. But, you know, even Jesus' life is given to us in garments. From the swaddling clothes of the manger to the garment of his trial where he's placed this robe of the king and everybody's laughing at him and spitting on him before his crucifixion. But I love this garment. We are told what he will be wearing when he comes to take us home. Let's go to Revelation 19, verse 13. We are told what he will be wearing. And would you know that the description of what he will be wearing comes from the story of Joseph? Chapter 19, verse 11 of Revelation. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. Verse 13, he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. This is a sentence that was used of Joseph when his garment was dipped in blood, but this is no longer a male goat. This is the blood of the lamb, and his garment is dipped in blood because it's the price he paid for us to take us home, and he wears it. You know, I'm going to give you a safeguard for your ministry so that you will never forget it. No matter what stage you're in, don't forget that you are covered by the robe of righteousness of Christ. This assures your salvation, and it sets you free to be who you were meant to be. You are covered by his robe of righteousness. Soon he will come to take us home. Make sure that at all times you got this one straight. You're covered completely. And until that day, happy dreams. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we cannot understand why you would want to partner with human beings for the preaching of the gospel. Thank you for assuring us of our salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you because he said, it is finished. And that's how we spell our salvation, D-O-N-E. So now set us free. Set us free to do the dream that you placed in our hearts. Whether we are in the first one, just getting glimpses of it, or whether we're in the middle one, with trials and suffering and not understanding why you're leaving us there for so long, or whether you have given us the incredible pleasure, like no other pleasure in life, to be doing that which you made us to do, the purpose for our lives. Bless each person here today. Encourage them in their journey. And overall, give them the assurance of their salvation through Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen. God bless you.